We're turning to Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14 to verse 16. That's Matthew 5, starting at verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Okay, Pastor Duane, you want to bring us around the word and everyone can grab a seat.
Thank you, Terry. Well, good morning once again. And we were hoping and praying about today and thinking, man, Lord, give us some good sunshine so we can go out and we can have a good time afterwards and we can play games and things afterwards. And instead, we've got, that was yesterday. Today, we've got storms today and some rain clouds and maybe a little bit dark out there. But that's okay. Because days like today are a great reminder of why we're here. Because we are a lighthouse. We are a lighthouse. And the lighthouse does its best work, does it not, in the storms, when it's dark, when it's raining? And so what a great reminder for us here today. We are a lighthouse. And it's times like these where we can be a beacon of hope. And it's during the storms of life when our light shines the brightest. With that in mind, let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be a lighthouse. Lord, to go and shine the love of Jesus Christ with those in our community and those in need. And so, Lord, I pray that as we stand here today and we hear the rain coming down and we may hear the thunder and lightning and hear the wind, Lord, I pray that that'll also be a reminder of why we're here. We're here, Lord, to represent you in a dark world. And so, God, I pray that you would bless our effort and bless our time together here this morning. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you just felt you've lost all hope? I hope none of you have ever had to face that in your life, but in a crowd this size, I'm sure there may be some people out here who maybe you felt that. Maybe you felt like you've lost all hope, but some of you that have experienced that, I mean, obviously you've overcome that because you're here with us today. So you've been able to move forward in life, and I'm glad to see that. When I hear stories of those that have overcome, it is as if there's someone or something that sort of shines a light in their life, giving them hope they need to persevere and to not give up. I think of those that are maybe captured soldiers who maybe have like a single photo in their pocket, and they can pull it out, and maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, it's a loved one, and that becomes a light of hope to them. Thoughts of those who are dependent upon them spur them on to keep going. I wonder what it was like for those that were trapped in the mines or in the caves we heard about a few years ago. To be in that complete darkness, and then maybe to hear a drill coming through the top and providing light, providing hope to those that are in need. It helps them keep going. Hope is a powerful thing. And my desire is that this church, and as individuals, we become a beacon of hope to those in our community. Maybe those who have no hope, or maybe those who have lost hope. We want to be a beacon of light to our community. We have a wonderful joy and privilege of coming alongside them, those in their darkest time, and offering the light of hope to them. The light we shine may make the difference between where they spend eternity. What exactly is a beacon of hope? Well, we can describe it as a light that shines the hope of Jesus here this morning, much like a spiritual lighthouse. Hence all the decorations. First of all, I want to share with you the light that shines. The light that shines. After all, if it doesn't shine, then it's not really a light, is it? The purpose of a light is to give out light. I got on the computer this week and hollered out to a couple of guys and said, "Hey, you know, I need an illustration. I need a spotlight." And wouldn't you know it, gadget guy Joe, he fired up the message to me and he says, "Hey, don't worry, Pastor, I've got you covered. I'll be there in 15 minutes." And I tell you what, he was there. I mean, DoorDash has nothing on Joe. He was there 15 minutes with a smile on his face, and boy, did he give me a beauty, man. We have a spotlight over here, and I'm not much in the spotlight world, so forgive my ignorance here. But man, this is an amazing spotlight here. I mean, look, it even has a remote. I mean, how good is that? Has a remote, and in fact, I even tried it. I went outside to see if I could actually operate it, and it works from way back there. And this thing does amazing. I can cut the light on here. And watch this, you know, I can go up and I can go down. I can go left and I can go right. And I just blinded everybody on the front row there, didn't I? Sorry about that. But isn't this amazing? Isn't this a great spotlight? I haven't seen much like this before. Maybe you have, but I haven't. And I mean, I don't really have much use for spotlight. I mean, I'm in my office all day working on the computer, so I mean, I don't really have a use for a spotlight. Maybe whenever the kids start messing up around down the road at nighttime, I could put that out front and, you know, just follow them on all the way down the road, you know, scare them to death. But I don't have really much use for a lighthouse here, for a spotlight here. And I look at this and I said, this is actually amazing. But what if it didn't have a light? What if it didn't have a light? What purpose would it be if a spotlight didn't have a light? Even though it has all these bells and whistles, even though it has all these other wonderful items, what use would it be if it doesn't have a light? Look, we as a church, we can be many things in this world. We can go and feed the hungry. We can sponsor children that are needy in other countries. We can dig wells and provide drinking water for those in need. We can give food and financial assistance to those in our community. But if we are not shining the light, then what's our purpose? Or maybe a better question may be, are we fulfilling our purpose? There are numerous NGOs out there, nonprofit organizations out there that can achieve social justice in our world, but the church's primary responsibility is to shine the light of Jesus in a dark world. For us to be a beacon of hope, we must first identify our light. So what is the light that we must shine? Well, John helps us out with that here. He identifies what the light is here in Scripture. And notice what he says in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now notice it didn't say that it was a God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Listen, who is the scripture here referring to? Who is he talking about? This individual referred to as the Word. This individual was present when time began. It says, in the beginning. And if you remember your Bible lessons, going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Which shows that God was there in the very beginning. And here we see, in the beginning was the Word, which means the person was eternal. He was with God, and he was God. Interesting statement there. And as God spoke creation into existence, this individual was creating the world. Nothing was made without him, the Bible says. And the only person who fits this description here this morning is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. But this description is of Christ before he was born of flesh and entered into the world in a human baby boy. He's the second person of the Godhead Trinity. You remember whenever God was creating the world, he said, "Let us make man in our image," the plurality there. We have the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and he was there at creation. But notice here, the light is described in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Notice here he talks about life first of all. Now what does that mean? In him was life. Well, this could be referring to physical creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." But eventually, we will see as we read through the rest of this passage here, we see that this is much more than physical life. He is speaking here of a spiritual life. Or sometimes the Bible may refer to this as eternal life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, he also says that he was the light of men. Why does mankind need a light? Well, we just read in Ephesians, it tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We live in a world full of darkness. Listen, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, does it? We live in a broken world. And as a result of sin, Satan has become the prince of this world. It is his nature to destroy. In fact, that's one of the names of Satan, is destroyer. And we can see the effects of sin all around us. Disease, poverty, hatred, wars, persecution, catastrophic disasters, and even we can see that the planet itself is running down. All of this points to the effect of sin. Our world is full of darkness. But it is much more personal than that. Jeremiah goes and asks a question here. It says, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That means that we have a heart problem as humans. It's not just bad out there, but it's bad in here as well. We are experts at pointing out the bad in others, but I want you to examine your own heart here this morning. Don't think about other people. I want you to examine your own heart here this morning, because here's the good news. If we can receive this morning, here's the good news. John shares with us that there is a light that overcomes darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it, he says, nor does it overcome it. There are several ways to define light, including rays and beams and brightness and electromagnetic radiation and electromagnetic waves and different colors and whatnot. But darkness, there's only one way to define darkness, and that is the absence of light, the absence of illumination. It is defined by what it is not or what it is lacking. We don't define it by its properties. Rather, we define it by its lack of properties. So darkness is subservient to light. If you've ever been in a black room, it doesn't matter how big it is, it could be a big room, you can actually take a single match and light it, and watch what happens. It just chases the darkness away. That light can be seen from the other side of the room despite the overwhelming darkness between the two. The darkness doesn't hide the light. The light penetrates the darkness. And as a result, it is the light that can be a beacon of hope. If you've gotten lost in an underground cave, one thing you're longing for, you're looking for, is just a simple glimpse of light from up above. Even if it's just a glimpse, that's that knowledge that you're close to the surface is enough to provide some hope for you. Well, John tells us that this light was shown. Back to our spotlight over here that we have. If it doesn't show light, then what's the point? What's its purpose? But if I were to tell you that this light works, how would you know that? How would you know that this light works? Well, one push of a button here, and you can see that the light works for yourself. I don't have to convince you of that. See, what's happened is now you've become a witness of that. And this is what John is saying here. He is saying that he is witness. How does he know that there's a light to witness there? Because he's a witness of it. He witnessed the light. He says in John chapter 1, verse 6, notice what he says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." Not a light. He came to bear witness of the light. Notice that. "That all through him might believe." And he, talking about John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, as we learn through Scripture, that John, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In other words, he was the one who was going to come before Jesus and present him to the world. He was going to prepare the way for his coming. He would bear witness of this light. And so what is the purpose of this light? Well, it's a light of salvation. It's a light of salvation that all through him might believe, he says. Those in darkness would find salvation through this light. John makes sure that there's no confusion here. He plainly tells them, hey, listen, hey, fellas, I'm not the light, but I'm the one that will bear witness of that light. Your salvation is not found in any other man. Your salvation is not found in any other religion. Your salvation is only found in one, and that is the true light of Jesus Christ. He is the one that gives light to every man coming into the world. In John chapter 12, verse 46, it says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. What a tremendous truth that is. Now, in case you are new to our church here this morning and you haven't figured out my accent yet, I'm originally from South Carolina, over on the east coast of the U.S. And we have a history regarding lighthouses. During early history of the U.S., people believed that anything that washed up on the beach belonged to whoever claimed it first. And so when a ship was wrecked off their coast, there would be riots and violence as people fought over the goods that washed ashore. You know, finders, keepers, possessions, nine-tenths of the law, and all that, you know. However, there were some, because of their greed, they took this a step further. They were called mooncussers. Mooncussers. They would actually cause a ship to wreck under the cover of darkness, which is why you understand the name mooncussers. They don't want the moonlight shining on them. Why is that? Because of their dislike of moonlight. You see, they were deceiving. Here's how they would work. They would go and find a rocky beach, and they would stand on rocky beaches at nighttime in the darkness of night, and they would take a lantern, and they would put it on the end of a broomstick, and they would sort of swing back and forth just a little bit. Now, from the beach, that may not mean a whole lot to you. But if you're out in the ocean and you are dealing with rough waves and rough wind and rough seas and you're looking for a safe harbor to park your ship until the storm has ended, well, then oftentimes what you will do is you will look for sort of a light out there. And if you can get out your little periscope there and you can have a look and see whether or not it's moving or whether it's stable or standing still. And if it's standing still, what they think is that, hey, you know what? There's a ship already in safe harbor there. And so what they do is they start to move their ship in that direction so they too can go to the safe harbor. And of course, what would happen is they would end up on the rocks of the beaches. And as the ship would hit the rocky coast there, it would smash the bottom of the vessel and the waves would begin to rip apart the ship. And at that moment, the mooncussers would row out to the ship in their little dinghies, and they would board the ship swinging their scrabble. You know what a scrabble is? It's a sock that they put a brick or a stone in the end of it. And they came on swinging those things to make sure that nobody messes with them so they can go and loot the place. Or if somebody did, they would get a brick upside their head. And so that was a way that they could go and they can take the loot that they were longing for. And they would scare the people off and smash their heads if necessary in order to claim the ship and its cargo for themselves. And then they just go and leave the crew to fend for themselves to survive the attack, if they survive the attack. But once the lighthouses were built, many mooncussers found themselves out of business. So what's the point? You see, it's not just about following any light. It's about following the true light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers to also transfer themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. The devil can transform himself into an angel of light. He is deceptive, and those who do his bidding can also appear as ministers of righteousness. Deception is that which is so close to the truth that you want to believe it, yet it is still a lie. Think about that. He is the king of counterfeits. He will shine a light into the world, but you may find yourself shipwrecked as a result if you choose to follow it. But even though Jesus is the true light, not all choose to follow Him. You see, in this time, the light was seen. The light was seen. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, He spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light was shown to them in Jesus' day. He was seen by their very eyes, and then He went and told them plainly, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If you want life, then follow me. But what was their response? Well, the light was rejected. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, And He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him, and He came into His own. And watch this, His own did not receive Him. Unfortunately, the truth is not everyone will respond to the light of Jesus. I've heard stories of lifeguards that warn people to swim between the flags and not to swim in the dangerous areas, but you know how they are. They think they can handle it. They got the stuff, they can handle it. You know, if they get into trouble, they're all right. They don't have anything to worry about. And unfortunately, the result is a loss of life. There are a number of people in our world who deny the light of Jesus. It's equivalent to throwing out a life preserver to one who thinks that they're not drowning. From the shoreline, you can see that they're in the middle of a rip and they're being pulled out to sea. And you want to go and help them and you throw out the lifeline, but they reject it. What do? Do you continue to beg them? Do you continue to plead with them to take the lifeline? Or do you go and find someone else who's calling out for help? Sometimes it's hard, especially when it's family members or friends that you're trying to save. We pray for God's wisdom as we shine the light of Jesus, but we can't stop shining the light of Jesus because some reject it, even if it's our loved ones. There are others out there that need to see our light shine. They are without hope. But we can be that beacon of hope if we keep shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a beacon of hope because the light redeems. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. The Word that we've been talking about from the very beginning, it became flesh and dwelt among us, He says. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's no one else this could refer to except Jesus Christ. There were some in Jesus' day that did receive Him and they followed Him, and in doing so, they became children of God. You hear people all the time saying, Oh, we're all God's children. Nope, we're not. We may be all God's creation, but we're not all God's children, because that requires a relationship. One must be born into the family of God in order to have a right to be His child. And Nicodemus was told by Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 7, Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. When the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of a sinner, convicting them of their sins, they have a decision to make. They can either ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or they can receive and believe the gospel and be born again. They can become a new creation in Christ. But notice what the Scripture says here, but as many as received Him, He says. Well, that means that there's some that probably can reject Jesus Christ. And let's talk about facing the consequences of that decision, because facing the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ is eternity in hell. I want to be honest with you here this morning. I want you to understand that. I want you to know what's at stake here. Or you can receive Him. And you can have the right to become a child of God. The Holy Spirit may be convicting your heart right now, right where you're seated. You're keenly aware of your need for salvation. Let me explain something to you. Jesus came and He died on the cross for your sins. He died to pay your price. It should have been us on the cross. But He died to pay for our sins, and He was buried. He died, He was buried, but then He rose again the third day, defeating death. And because of He defeated death, then He can offer us life. This is what Paul referred to as the gospel. It is the light that we send out into the world. Salvation can be yours if you are willing to accept the salvation that Jesus has provided for you. Here this morning, the lifeline is being thrown out to you. What you do with it is up to you. We are a church shining the beacon of hope, salvation through Jesus Christ, but there will be a time when that life preserver will be taken up and offered to another. And there is no guarantee that you will get another opportunity as you have right now, today. If you have a lifeguard that comes to you and you keep rejecting the lifeguard as he gives you a lifeline, and they have to leave and provide assistance to others, well, you can't really expect them to come back to you when you finally start realizing, hey, I'm drowning after all. The longer you reject, the longer you wait, your conscience becomes seared and your fate is condemned. Don't neglect such a great salvation here this morning. Don't neglect such a great salvation. This is a day of celebration, my friend. And we are celebrating what God has done in our church over the last 3 years of our church history. We have been a lighthouse to this community. We have seen people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have seen their lives being rescued from danger. And we celebrate this. But what is more important than the past 3 years of our church history is your salvation today. If you would like to be saved, then you must first understand that you're lost. You're lost in your sins, and you need a Savior. But the good news is that we are a lighthouse. We are equipped with the tools and the resources to provide you with salvation through Jesus Christ here this morning. But all we can do is offer it. All we can do is offer it. You have to be willing to receive it. Let me ask you here this morning, are you willing to receive Jesus as your Savior? If you believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross for you and He paid for your sins, believe that He was put to death and that He was buried and that He defeated death by rising again up out of the grave 3 days later, if you're willing to repent and turn from your sinful life and make Jesus Christ Lord and Master of your life, you can be saved right now. Right now. You can call out to Jesus Christ right where you're sitting and you can accept His gift of salvation. And it's through prayer we communicate with the Lord. And maybe you can pray something along these lines. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and that You died to pay for my sin. I repent of my sin, Lord, and I surrender my life to You. Lord, I call upon You to be my Lord and Savior right now. And I want to thank You for Your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you are willing to pray a prayer like that with all sincerity of heart and surrender your life to Him, then you too can become a child of God here this morning and you can receive eternal life. If you have prayed that prayer and you would like to know more about that, then please see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you. As more and more lighthouses were gradually built along the coastline, mariners could not always tell one from the other. This itself could lead to a shipwreck if the captain followed the wrong light. A system developed where each light had its own flashing signal. You would count the seconds between the flash. And each one was different for each lighthouse. And every foghorn had a distinct blast. And each paint job called day markers were different from the next. And the mariners would carry around a chart called the light list to check on the unique identity of each light. And that information was placed on a map to help guide them and direct them to safety away from danger. In our darkened world, there is only one lighthouse. That is true. That is the lighthouse that shines Jesus Christ. It's so easy for one to become so confused with so many different lights out there of today, all offering some form of salvation and direction for life. But just like the Mooncusters, they may lead you into danger, and soon your life will be a wreck. That's why it's so important to compare the light that you are following with the light list, which is the Bible. It's the Bible. If it doesn't measure up, then let me encourage you, don't follow it. Those who cared for the lighthouse and were entrusted with keeping the light shining were called keepers. They were responsible for carrying 40 to 50 liters of well oil up 200 to 300 steps a day to ensure their light would last throughout the night. Tragic stories have been shared where lighthouse keepers were away from on the mainland and weren't able to make it back to their lighthouse because of the storm rose up so quickly and people perished. One lady was heard a story. One lady was carrying up well oil up the steps and she slipped and fell and broke her back and not able to move. The light didn't shine that night and a whole crew perished. We may even have some keepers here this morning that have fallen. They feel they're unable to shine their light because of their brokenness. Let me encourage you here this morning, don't give up. Our work is too important. Allow us to come alongside you and help to restore you. There is still a darkness in our world. Lives are being shipwrecked, and we need all hands on deck. Very few keepers exist today because the Coast Guard has taken over that responsibility. Modern technology doesn't require full-time personnel. And you know what? We see the same similar things happen with churches as well. Modern technology doesn't really feel like people need to go to church anymore. They've got all their podcasts. They've got their television programs, their internet. And they seem to have replaced the local church for many people. But who is there to row out to them in their time of need? Now, I'm not downing these things. They can be helpful. But let me encourage you here this morning, they're not a replacement for the local church. They're not a replacement for the local church. From time to time, despite the warnings of lighthouses, ship would wreck. The people would need to be rescued, and so the keepers would be the ones then to go out into their boats and go out to the wreck, and they would toss the life preserver out, and they would pull the victims in. And they would bring them inside the rescue station and provide shelter and warmth from them and from the storm. And from 1911 to 1921, keepers rescued more than 1,200 people. The lighthouse can save by throwing out a lifeline. What's your lifeline here this morning? The lifeline can be the gospel. Going and sharing with others the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ died for them, and they can be saved. Your lifeline could be your life for Christ. People are watching you. People are seeing how you live your life. That could be the lifeline that you're providing for someone else. Your lifeline could be your finances to support your local church as we reach out to our local community and share the gospel with those in our local community. Or maybe we send people out to other areas, even far places as missionaries to other parts of the world, so that they too can hear the light of Jesus Christ. Maybe your lifeline could be your family, releasing your families to go into full-time ministry so they too can start other lighthouses so others can hear the gospel. It's not just about shining the light of Jesus, but actively going out into our world full of darkness, danger, and storms, and rescuing those whose lives have been shipwrecked. There's a raging ocean out there, drowning. People are drowning out there with no place to turn. Listen, they're not going to come to us. We must go to them. And I want Haven Baptist Church to be a beacon of hope here this morning. We want to shine the true light of Jesus Christ on those in our community. We have keepers who keep the light shining, and we want to be a rescue station. We want to rescue those in our community and bring them to safety. Matthew chapter 5, we opened with. In verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world." Think about that. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand to give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We have some in our church who are willing to be a beacon of light to our community, but the darker and more unstable our world becomes, the more laborers are required to make a greater impact. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Church, will you be a beacon of hope to our lost and dying world here this morning? That's not a rhetorical question. Will you be the light in our dark world here this morning? Let me encourage you to go out and shine your light for Jesus. I don't want us to be a fancy church with all the bells and whistles looking good and looking attractive on the outside. I mean, we've got a nice fancy spotlight over here and it does an amazing things. It's great. Did I tell you they had a remote as well? It's awesome. But if it doesn't shine the light, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? A lighthouse that doesn't shine light is not a lighthouse. No matter how much religious structure and buildings we may have, no matter how much religious paraphernalia we may have, no matter our religious vocabulary, we can talk the talk. If we are not a beacon of hope shining the light of Jesus, then we might as well close those doors. We are not fulfilling the intended purpose that God has designed us for. And if you're here this morning and maybe you're drowning in your sins, and your life is a wreck, let me encourage you to stick around. Celebrate with us. Have some lunch with us. And let's sit and talk. Allow me or allow our leadership or allow someone in our congregation to sit down with you over a meal and show you how you can be saved. After all, we're a lighthouse. This is what we do. We're a lighthouse. Haven Baptist Church, happy 3-year anniversary. Happy 3-year anniversary. It's been my privilege and honor to be your pastor, and Valerie's privilege and honor to be your pastor's wife and help her in ministry, investing her life into your kids and you ladies. But we're just getting started. We're just getting started. If we become the beacon of hope that I know that we can be, church, if we become the beacon of hope that I know we can be, then the 300 chairs that we currently have in this room, it will not contain the growth that we will experience over the next year if that becomes a priority. We have the hope of Jesus, so let's shine the light of hope to us so that others have that hope as well. We want them to experience the salvation that we have. It's too good to keep to ourselves. Don't take your light and hide it under a bushel. Let's go out and let's be a beacon of hope to those in need. What do you say, church? You with me? Let me try that again. Church, are you with me? That's what I want to hear. All right, let's go out and be a beacon of hope to those in need. Lord, we do thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. And as I look over the last 3 years, God, I'm amazed. I love to see you at work. I love to see the growth of this church, Lord. But God, our work is never finished. Our work is never done. As long as there are people in our world that need Jesus, as long as there are people in our world whose lives have been shipwrecked and they have no hope, Lord, we have a responsibility to be that beacon of hope for them. And so, Lord, I pray that not only collectively as a church we shine our light, but individually, Lord, we go and we share Jesus Christ with those in our circle of influence so they too can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done over the last 3 years, and we look forward to what you have for us over the next few years. We pray your hand be upon us, Lord, and we pray that our light will never go out. And we thank you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.